coming, they know after this situation, there's still gonna be glory. Come on, clap your hands, come on. Bishop Eric McDaniel. Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't give up. Wait on the Lord, and he will come through for you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just had to play that for myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, Pastor Felicia, Minister Desiree, and, of course, my beautiful, beautiful baby sister, Shirley. How y'all are? How y'all are? I don't see none of y'all on the phone line, so I guess it's not going to be open for them because nobody's on the phone line. I don't know what to say about that. But anywho, I had to play the song for me. Wait on him. Wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes I forget that, you know, and I get anxious sometimes, and I know the Bible says be anxious for nothing. Glory to God. But guess what? Sometimes it still happens. But God is good. God is good. So sometimes we have to encourage ourselves, and that's what I did. I encouraged myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody in the chat room, y'all should know the number by now, but it's 323-693-3054. If you'd like to give us a call, give us a call. Press the number one, and we'll get you in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, on this week, let's see, I believe it's on... I got to look and see. One of these days, we're going to have a topic, and I think some people are going to be a little upset with me, but it's okay. I really don't care, because the truth is the truth, and we got to tell the truth. Hallelujah. And Minister Desiree, you spoke about it, I believe, the other night on your broadcast on Spree. And if you'd like to give the information in the chat room about your broadcast, Minister Desiree, please do so, so that we can get more people to come over to your broadcast and listen to however the Lord leads. But on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about serving God and holding hands with Satan. And in bold letters, I have impossible. So that's what we're going to be talking about on Wednesday, Lord willing. And we live long enough to see that day. We're going to go and talk about serving God and holding hands with Satan. Impossible. Can't do it. Just can't do it. Just can't do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The open forum, we're talking about the book, Battlefield of the Mind. And tonight we'll be going into chapter 2. For those who may be listening to this later on the broadcast, we have somebody on the line, probably Pastor Felicia. But Minister Desiree comes on Spreecast, S-P-R-E-E-C-A-S-T, Spreecast show, and it's on https://www.spreecast.com/users/Desiree-3MySpreecastShow. Okay, I would like for you guys to support her and go and listen to her broadcast. She teaches very, very well on her broadcast, and I was able to listen to it the other day as much as I could without my computer acting up. But the broadcast is really, really good, and I mean, we are supposed to be supporters of one another, so I would ask you to just go over there and, you know, view some of the things that she has in the archives and then tune in live. Minister Desiree, when do you go on live? I know, I think you were on yesterday, right? Or was it Saturday? I don't know. So when she puts the information there on the times, the days and the times of her broadcast, I will say it. So those that are listening live and on archives can turn in as well. Pastor Felicia, I have you on the line. Hello? Is that Pastor Felicia? Who's area code 330-983?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. You know what? I'm so silly.
Hi.
Okay. I have my what you call it, say, speaker. I have it on speaker. Okay, so we want Minister Desiree. We want people to go over there and visit Minister Desiree's broadcast. Amen. And like I said, she's teaching on some good stuff. We kind of basically teach like the same thing, but I really like her, the way her style. She got a different. Her style is so different, but she be cracking me up. I was listening to her and my husband interacting on the broadcast the other night. Man, y'all two was cracking me up. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about chapter 2. We're going to read chapter 2. So if you have your books, just go ahead and get chapter 2. If you have anything you'd like to talk about as far as a battlefield that you've been having in your mind, call the number 323-693-3054, and we can talk about it. Minister Desiree says, I have different days I'm online, but if you check my site, it will have my upcoming shows. Okay, all right, we'll do that. We'll go to her site on Spreecast.com. So, Minister Desiree does not have the book. She does not have Battlefield of the Mind. But I can post the scriptures. Chapter 2, these chapters aren't very long, is what I like about this book. They're not long at all. Like, chapter 2 is very short. And if you look in the chat room, I posted the scriptures from chapter 1 that we used the first night that we were on. I don't know if I can even call them back up because they were so far up there. But if we have time in the end, what I'm going to do is I'll repeat the scriptures because there's some things that we need to keep bringing back to our remembrance, some things that we need to speak out, especially 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. But before we start doing that, let's, Pastor Felicia, if you could just lead us in prayer, and we'll go forward from there. Husband, are you on the line? Bishop? Okay, he's not on the line. I thought he was. But go ahead, Pastor Felicia.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, Lord God, we come to you right now, Father God, thanking you, God. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity one more time to be gathered in your name, Father God. We thank you, Lord God. Lord God, for allowing us, Father God, to be here to learn of your word, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us on tonight, Father God. Lord God, we come thanking you. We come glorifying your holy name, Father God. We ask that your word, hallelujah, be hidden in our heart, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord God, help us to take heed to let it be nourishment to our spiritual man, Father God, so that we can go away, Father God, more strengthened, more determined, and more able, hallelujah, to do your word, to do your will in our life, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you touch and bless every caller, all those that listen in on the archives right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we bind up any attack, Father God, any distractions, Father, that will come to snatch this word, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place, Father God. Holy Spirit, we ask that you strengthen us, Father God, that you speak to us, Father God, that you hallelujah, operate in our lives, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord God, we ask that you have thine own way, Father God. Move as you will, Father God. Move as you see fit. And we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. And it is so, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Pastor Felicia. Thank you so much. As we know, the book is called Battlefield of the Mind and is written by Joyce Meyer. And I do have written permission from her to use this book on the broadcast. I didn't want to use it without her because I didn't want to get sued. I didn't want to use it without her permission because not saying that she would have sued me. I'm just saying I had to cover myself, you know, because you know how the enemy works and sometimes he uses situations to try to make crazy stuff, but we have the victory because she approved it. Amen. The first chapter is called The Mind is the Battlefield, and we read that a couple of weeks ago. Then we skipped down to A Wandering, Wondering Mind. That chapter was very good. I love that Wandering, Wondering Mind because you know what? Ever since I've read it again, I've been thinking about the stuff I've been thinking about. Like, I zoned out on somebody the other day They were talking, and I just left my mind. I was just gone somewhere. And then I came back and rejoined whatever they were saying. I was like, man, this is what she was talking about in that book, how your mind could just wander and go somewhere, totally somewhere else. But that's not always necessarily something bad. Somebody could be talking, and you don't want to be a part of the conversation, and you could zone out. It was you, Shirley? Okay. You don't want to be a part of the conversation. I've zoned out on people when they're, you know, cursing. Even after I've said, well, can you please stop cursing, they refuse to stop. I've zoned out on them. If I don't want to hear your conversation, I can zone out on you very well in most cases. But she's talking about how we just wander. Our minds just go places, and because we have not trained our minds. But the first chapter, the battle, the mind is the battlefield. The mind is the battlefield. We have our thoughts. Have you ever, that's why I wanted this to be an open forum and wanted people on the phone, too, because have you ever actually felt yourself fighting in your mind? Like you were having a battle in your mind, like a real fight in your mind. Have you ever done that, Pastor Felicia?
Oh, yes. It's what I call how I see warring in the spirit. You know what I mean? You feel like this battle, you know, is going on and you're trying to, I can't explain it.
You ever tried to, and we're going to read the scripture in a minute, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you have your Bibles, if you can turn to that, please. Have you ever felt like your flesh wanted to do something and your spirit is like, no, don't do that, but just battle was going on in your mind? It's like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you know that's not right, don't do that. Your spirit man is saying, you know that's not right, that's not of God, don't do that. But your flesh is like, it's okay, God, he'll understand. It's not that serious or it's not that deep. Go ahead, it's okay. You can always repent later. I mean, these are real battles that go on in people's minds. And in my mind, I literally have to say, shut up. In the name of Jesus, like, really, I have to tell myself in my mind, whatever my mind is saying, even when I say some things out loud, I have to say, shut up. Like, I literally have to talk to myself. If y'all were walking around here, if y'all could be a speck on the wall and y'all would see sometimes how I do myself, you'd be like, what's wrong with her? No, but we have to get our flesh under subjection. And if that's the way I have to do it, I have to say, shut up. Sometimes it's just Teresa, and sometimes it's, you know, demonic spirits coming to try to influence or try to encourage me to do things that I know that are not of God, okay? I constantly go back to drinking because drinking was a stronghold for me, okay? I don't participate with drinking now because I know that that was something that I did in the world. I liked it, and I don't want Satan to get a stronghold on me again, okay?
That's
right. Don't you know the battle comes? The battle comes. Sometimes I could be sitting here minding my business, and the battle will start. Girl, go on and get you some wine. You know you're tired. Girl, you know the doctor said it's okay. If the doctor said it's okay, it's all right because, you know, it's legal because the doctor said it's okay. So God's not going to be mad at you if the doctor said it's okay. You know, all of this reasoning and trying to make excuses for what I know is going to cause me trouble in the end, okay? But all of this stuff plays in our minds. And I just like to tell the truth to people about stuff because I don't like people to think, okay, well, she's on Blog Talk Radio. She must have it all together. No, she don't. She don't have it all together. But she's better than she was, okay? I'm better than I was. The battle was not as bad as it used to be, okay? So the desire for alcohol does not come up like it used to. But when it does, it's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
So if y'all in the chat room agree with me and your issue may not have been alcohol, I don't know what your issue was, but whatever the issue was, have you ever had any battles of that sort that I'm speaking about right now?
Yes. And then you make excuses, you know, even, well, like the old famous one, the famous one that is now, God knows my heart. Or we all fall short, or we try to make excuses even as far as alcohol. Well, you know, the Bible says it's okay to drink, you know, and then you, so I can drink a little bit, but how many times, you know, how many people that you know that's going to drink and not get drunk? I know when I was drinking, I was trying to get drunk. I wasn't just trying to sip and you know, I want to feel it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I have battles even still today. You know, sex also was a battle of mine. You know what I mean? I don't got it all together, but I thank God I'm not where I was at yesterday. And I thank God, you know, for the teaching as far as the battle of the mind, because sometimes things do come up that you think you have gotten delivered from, and, you know, it just come out the blue, you know, so. And then we try to, you know, in the mind, you try to make excuses or, well, God knows, or you could repent later, or you could ask for forgiveness later, you know. So you truly have to rebuke it out of your mind, you know, and trust God, get in his word, amen. We have to stand on his word, stand on what we believe in, amen.
Amen. And we have to make sure that, you know, we have to make sure that in our minds we understand that we have to do something. It's not going to happen by osmosis. We have to take this word, and this is another thing that I like about this book, is that she uses many scripture, okay? It's not about her opinion. It's the word of God that she uses. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's telling you what we're wrestling. We're wrestling demonic spirits because they want us to be messed up in our minds, so we can't think clearly, so we can't pray, so we can't seek God, so we can't study his word to understand what he's saying to us in his word, okay? So the enemy wants us to not know where the battle is. It's a spiritual battle. I can't pick up a gun and fight this battle, because if I did and put a gun to my head, I would be dead. So I can't kill the demonic spirits by putting a gun to my head, but what I can do is get rid of them by confessing the word of God, believing the word of God while I'm confessing it, and confess it as many times as I have to. Speak it out loud as many times as I have to. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I know that I'm wrestling not against flesh and blood. I know I'm wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And you got to say it and know it and believe it and stand on it. Because if you don't, he's going to come right back and play in your mind, and you're going to be defeated. You're going to be in the corner depressed. You're going to be somewhere popping pills or drunk or whatever your, you know, thing is. That's what's going to happen. So this is why it's so important that we understand, number one, where the battle is, and number two, who we are fighting. See, because I had a conversation with someone today, and I was like, you know what? In order to go further in the Lord, some things have to stop. Some things have to stop, but we have to make a conscious decision to know what those things are and then stop doing them. You know what I mean? Like, these excuses that we use, God, I mean, I guess he said all excuses are good, but they're not acceptable. They might be good for you, but they're just not acceptable. Another thing that she read, tearing down strongholds, another scripture that she put was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, okay? And she has it in, I believe this is the Amplified Bible that she has it in, but it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And as much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." How do you lead your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? How do you lead your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ?
How do you lead my thoughts captive to them?
I'm sorry?
I'm thinking.
That's a good question.
So that's, you know, I think I have to answer that.
Bishop Scott?
Hi.
Yeah, you get on the phone for a minute, please. I'm asking a question.
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and we quote this scripture. A lot of us quote this scripture, but we need an answer.
What's that?
I'm going to read it again because you weren't on the phone.
Mm-mm.
Let me read it again. Second.
Let me get my Bible first.
Okay, get your Bible.
If I can be with you.
And you can give Deanna a Bible out the box if she's not doing anything.
Yes, she can get a Bible. You can get the Bible right over there in that thing. 2 Corinthians.
Yeah. What is it, Felicia? Chapter 10? Chapter 10.
Chapter 10, verse 5.
Chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5, and it says, I'm going to start at verse 3, because it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. My question was, how do you bring your thoughts into the obedience of Christ?
Well, you have to keep your thoughts under control. If you keep your thoughts under control, what that means, and I'm going to tell you the truth, it's very difficult. That's a very difficult thing, but you have to keep your thoughts under control, which means that everything is about temperance in a way. Balance and all of this type of thing. You have to keep your thoughts under control. When you try, when Satan tries to, that's what he does. He tries to get into the mind. That's one of his weapons of attack. He tries to get into the mind of each of us. So that's our thoughts. So when we allow our thoughts to run rampant and just to be helter-skelter, if you will, and just have its own way, then we're prone to fall into Satan's trap. Okay, so how you control your thoughts is to get them on, I believe, either prayer or through, and I believe, well, my method is get into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I get my thoughts off of those thoughts that are satanic by getting to the Word of God. By getting them into the Word of God, your mind and your thoughts now become redirected. And to me, even more so for myself, even more so than prayer when it talks about my thoughts. My thoughts are controlled by reading the Word of God.
By reading the Word of God.
And meditating on it. Not just reading it, but meditating on the Word of God.
Okay.
And letting it control your mind, overflow your mind instead of that negative, satanic, demonic stuff that tries to get in there, that fleshly stuff that tries to get into your mind.
Let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I agree with what you said.
Mm-hmm.
How do you meditate on the Word of God? I'm asking these questions like I don't know, because there may be someone that is listening,
mm-hmm.
Or who may listen to this in the archives, who would need to know, how do I bring my thoughts into captivity? How do I bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ? How do I make my thoughts line up to obeying Jesus Christ? And then you said meditate on the Word, so here I am. I'm reading the Word. I just read the Word.
Well, it would be like reading any book. If I'm just going to read a book, I still won't get any understanding of it. I have to read it with the forethought to try to get understanding out of it. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to meditate, which means I'm going to go before the Lord about it. I'm going to really read it with a listening ear, if you will. Read it with an intention. That's what I like to, that's the word I want to use, an intention of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intending to understand. I'm not going to leave this until I understand what it's saying to me. I'm just not going to read it and then just move on. I'm going to read it until understanding comes to me about it. And that's the meditation. You stay with it. You don't just read it verse for verse and then, okay, I did my little 5 verses, 1 chapter, 2 chapters, whatever. Now I'm through. No. You read it with the intent of understanding. And you don't leave it until you understand it and what it's saying to you. It may say something different to you than it does to me, but it will speak to you.
Right. Now, one thing I would like to add to that, which I agree with, when we meditate on the Word of God, and that's why I wanted to read chapter 9 last week, A Wandering Mind, because we all know that when it's time to read the Word of God, you get sleepy. Or you have this attack of yawning, like the yawning demon just comes from out of nowhere, and you just yawn. Or if you begin to read the Word of God, your mind starts going somewhere else. Okay, I got my hands raised because that happens to me a lot, where I'll just start yawning out of the blue, or I'll get super sleepy or whatever, because it's time to read the Word. And sometimes you can't focus on the Word when you're tired. We went through this. If you're extremely exhausted, it's hard for you to meditate on the Word. It's hard for you to understand what you have just read. How many times have you just read something and don't even remember what you read?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Most of the time, it's weird how we do this. We choose the time where we're the most tired to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, for example, I'll wait until I get home from work. I worked 8 hours, had to do this. Now I'm going to read the Word of God. And in particular, to meditate on it. I can read it. But we know, in particular, believers know, if we read it, we're reading to understand. And reading to understand means I got to dwell on it a little while. And I don't feel like dwelling on it. I don't mind reading it. We read a verse, read 2-3 verses, read a chapter. Reading it, but we understand we're reading it to gain understanding. And that takes effort. And I'm tired. And I don't want to put no effort into it. So reading it, fine. But reading it to understand, to get something out of it, means I have to put some effort into it, carry with it a little while, and I don't feel like doing all that.
So if I meditate on the Word of God, what do I do? Close my eyes and go,
No. What I believe, that's some kind of yoga stuff.
Oh,
Wait a minute.
I'm asking the question because I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm asking these questions because these are things that people think about. I've heard questions like this before. So this is why I'm asking these questions, because these are real things that people deal with.
Well, the time that we meditate on the Word is the time that we're the most awake. That we're most willing and able to meditate on the Word of God.
So what is meditating?
Meditating is reading it to understand, to gain understanding, which means I'm going to linger, I'm going to tarry with it a while, I'm going to hang with it for a minute.
So
I'm
not going to just read a scripture and slam the book shut.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's lingering a while. I want to get understanding. I can't get understanding of anything. If I had a math book, I can't get understanding by saying 1 and 1 is, you know, 1 and 1. I gotta understand how 1 and 1 is 2, and how you do fractions and how you do division. That's not just reading it. You have to gain an understanding of it, and that's 2 different things. A lot of children in school try to read a math book or a history book or English book, and they're reading it, and they wonder why they get no understanding or they can't understand what's happening, because they're not reading it to gain understanding. They're just reading it because there was an assignment. I'm going to read pages 1 through 10, so I'm going to do it.
And that's what happens. And I believe this might be Minister Desiree on the line. I have you on the line, but let me just say this right quick. We do that same thing with the Bible. We look up Bible plans to read the Bible through a year, you know, in a year, read the Bible through in 1 year. Or somebody will tell you to read such and such and such and such, and out of obedience, you'll read it. When you can say, okay, I read it, but what did it really mean? And that's one thing I'm learning now, is to sit and just listen after I've read it. Now, another good thing to do is to speak the Word out loud. Read it out loud. Read it out loud, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So read it out loud. Out loud. Okay, like I'm talking right now, just read the Bible out loud.
And if you can't read it because of whatever reason, you really can't read it comfortably, because many people have a problem with reading. Just be real, particularly when you're talking about King James Version, you know, which is a little bit of a challenge for all of us to a certain extent. And even some of those words, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, I would like everybody to be honest, and it's hard to read those words many a time. But that's where you can get, and that's why I love the way this modern technology is. You can get a DVD, a CD, and get somebody else to read it that can read it articulately. Yeah. And they can read the, and they'll read all the words, even locations and geographic locations. They'll read it correctly. Won't be stumbling through it and all of that. They'll read it correctly because they've been trained to read the words. So that way you're getting an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Get a version of the Bible that's easier to read. English translations and things of that nature. Be careful about translations.
Please say that because...
Be careful about translations because many a translation leaves the core of spirit out of it.
Yes.
The spirit of God is left out of it. Thank many you. Phrases are substituted to minimize and to reduce the impact of God in the word. You know, sometimes it's not even God is replaced altogether. The spirit is replaced altogether by some other term that's used to take its place.
That's,
you even have gender-correct Bibles now.
Yeah, so be careful about the verse. Pray about it. Ask God which version that he, you know, wants you to have. And we should be mindful of that because some things have really been changed drastically. You would not even know that you're reading the same scripture depending on the translation that you choose.
Exactly.
Yeah, Pastor, I believe this is Minister Desiree on the line. Area code 240.
Hello there, Teresa. How are you tonight?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying your topic again tonight, as usual.
Amen.
I want to say one thing about the meditation part. You know in Joshua 1 and 8 where God tells him to meditate on the word, hide it in his heart so that he don't sin against God. When it comes to meditating, it's not like people in yoga classes do. Meditating is actually being diligent to study God's word. And when you read, the, as you said, read it out loud. Like, they have people that will say, okay, let's read the word of God in a year. I'm against reading God's word in a year. And the reason being is because if you're reading the Bible just in 1 year, what have you really gotten an understanding from it within a year? It takes me almost a year and a half to finish the Bible because I want to make sure I get an understanding. I just don't want to read his word and then I have no understanding, no revelation. So to meditate on his word, take your time and pick a scripture where you're going to read that night. And even if it's just one or two verses, read those one or two verses out loud and then ask God to reveal to you what you just read so that you can get an understanding. Because remember, when you're reading God's word, you have to ask yourself, okay, what did I just read? What was happening? Where did it happen? And what was going on? There's a lot of things that happen when we read God's word, so we have to ask ourselves the what, the where, the when, and the why. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to answer to you that particular night. It might be later on that week that he revealed something to you that you just read, and you're like, oh, my God, that's what I just read. Now you have
that's
the
right.
revelation of what that scripture means. So as you're reading the word out loud, ask the questions of what's the when is the where is the how. Then jot yourself some questions down, and then get yourself a different Bible to reference what you just read. Now, like your husband said, there are a lot of Bibles that out there that does take away from the King James. I have found out that one of the Bibles that does that, and you got to be very careful with it, and that's the NIV Bible.
Like
if you don't
know
the King James completely, and I started off with the King James, so I can read NIV, but I still pull out my King James because it will take the whole meaning completely away. And this is where we get lost. So write down questions and ask God to reveal it to you. Get another Bible. A Message Bible is another good Bible because it speaks in everyday layman's terms that it will break it down to us and it say stuff like you never even thought. Like when I'm reading Old Testament, I'll read the Message Bible because then I'm going to get an understanding of exactly what is being said in my language. Then I'll ask God to reveal it. So to meditate on it, we continue to ask the questions, even if we have to recite it. Remember the other night I mentioned about discipleship. Most you have to have people disciple. And
right.
what discipleship does is cause a person to memorize scripture. And memorizing
right.
scripture is hard. So you have to write it down on a piece of paper, and every week, every day you have to say that thing. And then when you go back to church on Sunday, you have to recite what you read. And so that's one way, even if you put it on a That's meditation right there. You're meditating on God's word because not only are you reciting it, but you're thinking, what does that scripture actually mean? What does it mean to me? How does it apply to Desiree? How does it apply to Teresa? And once you know how it applies to you, now you have hid the word in your heart. So when the enemy comes up against you or a situation come up against you, you already know how to apply it because that word that's on the inside of you is going to come out of flowing from your mouth.
That's right. And see, I'm very specific about asking these questions because I have my sister on the phone, and my sister's a new person, you know, in the Lord trying to get, you know, figure out things. Okay?
Praise God.
Yes, and I would really want her to get an understanding of these things that we talk about because a lot of times I've been in church when I was a young Christian, and I didn't understand anything that was being said because it went over my head, and I really don't want things to go over her head. I want her to get an understanding of what these things actually mean.
Right.
I think, if I can just interject one thought, I think that it's good to find yourself a Bible-based Bible study. It's good to have a Bible study because it will, at least it will tell you, it will elaborate, it can explain. I'm talking about one, I don't mean one that's, you know, like some do. But I mean one that you can interact, you can ask questions, you can, you know, you'll get a clear understanding. Let me say this, too, while I'm speaking, because I won't be speaking. I'll let you all do what you got to do. But one thing I'll say, I have read the Bible many a time. I've never read the Bible, because I've never been led to do that, from Genesis to Revelation through like that. I don't read the Bible like that. I've been reading the Bible since I was a boy, and I'm 60 years old now. So I've read the Bible through many a time. But I don't read it, let me start Genesis 1 and go to Revelation 22. I don't read it that way. I read it as God gives it to me, because that way I know I will meditate, I will concentrate, I will gain an understanding what God wants me to understand. And then I'll begin to read those other passages of Scripture. Another good thing to remember, do not read for study. Now, you can read anything you want to read, but do not read for study any version of the Bible that's a paraphrase. Never read a paraphrase Bible in study. Now, you can read paraphrase Bible for poetic license, and some Bibles are beautiful the way they phrase this thing, and they're very impressive how they phrase things. And that's fine if you want to, deliver a sermon or this and that, you want to have a flowing way of doing it and all of this. There are versions that will make it sound sweet and beautiful and very poetic and all the rest. But if you want to get a understanding, a meditation of the Word, be careful of paraphrase Bibles. I have a problem with paraphrase Bibles. I was taught in the Bible schools that I've been to, even university I've been to, and I agree completely that paraphrase Bibles are just that, paraphrase. You're not really saying everything. It's like me talking now. Now, you would paraphrase this. You're not going to quote everything I just said. You're going to paraphrase it. You're going to take out what you think is important, and you will tell someone what I said with that in mind. What you consider important, that's what you'll say, or what I just said. So be careful of paraphrase Bibles. My Bible, I have King James, naturally, New King James, but my primary Bible that I generally use is the New American Standard, only because that's taken from the actual Greek and Hebrew translations. And they are the more accurate translations. If you're taking it actually from the Greek and the Hebrew, you're getting a more accurate translation. Everything else, your other translation, were written in the Vulgate, which is German, and other Latin, which is which of course was the language of the Catholic Church and all of this. There's too many translations water down the significance of the original meaning of each translation. The Bible's written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. That's what the Bible's written in. If you keep on translating it into German, translating it into, in the Latin, and then ultimately translating it into English, you've gotten 5, 6, 7, 8 translations with 5 or 6 words, because some words don't translate. Some words are transliterated, which is something different. So just be careful. Just be careful. King James is a good Bible, but I always companion it with the New American Standard Bible. And between the two, God has given me understanding of what I need to know.
All right. We thank you for that. I think everybody is clear that we must be careful about what translations we do use when we're reading the Bible. And that's we're going to do that a whole nother broadcast, because I think that's an important subject, too, about these translations. But let's just begin to read chapter 2, because guess what? It's only like 3 pages, and it's called A Vital Necessity. So we want to read this. This is the whole point of the broadcast, is to read the book. But we want to read chapter 2. It says A Vital Necessity, and the scripture says Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? She says, this one scripture alone lets us know how very important it is that we think properly. Thoughts are powerful, and according to the writer of the book of Proverbs, they have creative ability. If our thoughts are going to affect what we become, then it should certainly be a priority that we think right thoughts. I think we need to write that down somewhere. If our thoughts are going to affect what we become, then it should certainly be a priority that we think right thoughts. Okay? Ladies, at any time that y'all are on the phone, if you have anything that you want to say, if you can, go ahead. Yeah, Shirley, you can use that Bible. If our thoughts are going to affect what we become, then it should certainly be a priority that we think right thoughts. I want to impress on you the absolute necessity of getting your thinking in line with the Word of God. You're welcome. I want to impress on you the absolute necessity of getting your thinking in line with God's Word. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. The mind of the flesh versus the mind of the spirit. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, sets their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. For those who are according to the spirit and are controlled by the desires of the spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. That was Romans 8, chapter 5. Romans 8, chapter 5. And I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. I'm really partial to the King James Version because that's what I studied under the King James Version. And anything else from another version just sounds funny to me. It just sounds different, unless I'm really trying to do an in-depth study and I really need to get a clearer understanding of what's being said. But Romans 8:5 says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Okay? She says the same thing. In the King James Version, the 8th chapter of Romans teaches us that if we mind the things of the flesh, we will walk in the flesh. But if we mind the things of the spirit, we will walk in the spirit. She says, let me put it another way. If we think fleshly thoughts, wrong thoughts, negative thoughts, we cannot walk in the spirit. Renewed, God-like thinking is a vital necessity to a successful Christian life. Okay? To a successful Christian life. There are times when we humans will be lazy about something if we don't realize how important it is to pay attention to it. But when we realize
it is a matter that will cause great problems if we ignore it, then we take action. Let us say, for example, that the bank calls and tells you that your account is overdrawn by $850. You immediately look for the problem. Perhaps in your search you discover that you failed to make a deposit that you thought you had made. You rush to the bank right away with the deposit so you won't have any further problems. I would like for you to consider this matter of getting the mind renewed in the same matter. She says, your life may be in a state of chaos because of years of wrong thinking. If so, it is important for you to come to grips with the fact that your life will not get straightened out until your mind does. You should consider this area one of vital necessity. Be serious about tearing down the strongholds Satan has built in your mind. Use your weapons of the word, praise, and power. That's very important. Use your weapons of the word, praise, and power. Okay? I mean, word, praise, and prayer. Well, your power is in prayer, hallelujah, and praise. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. She says, one of the best aids to freedom is asking God for a lot of help and asking often. One of your weapons is prayer, okay? And she has in parentheses asking. You can't overcome your situations by determination alone. You do need to be determined, but determined in the Holy Spirit, not in the effort of your own flesh. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Seek his help. Lean on him. Can't make it alone. Any comments or anything we've said so far? Okay. A vital necessity. For the believer, right thinking is a vital necessity. A vital necessity is something that is so important that one simply cannot live without it. Like a heartbeat is vital or blood pressure is vital. These are things without which there is no life. The Lord impressed this truth on me years ago concerning personal fellowship with him in prayer and the word. I was having a terrible time disciplining myself to do these things until he showed me that they are a vital necessity. Just as my physical life is dependent upon my vital signs, so my spiritual life is dependent upon spending regular quality time with God. Once I learned that fellowship with him is vital, I gave it priority in my life. In the same way, once I realized that right thinking is vital to victorious living, I got more serious about thinking about what I was thinking about and choosing my thoughts carefully. I like that. She said, in the same way, once I realized that right thinking is vital to victorious living, I got more serious about thinking about what I was thinking about and choosing my thoughts carefully. Matthew 12:33, she says, either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad, for the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. Okay? The Bible says that a tree is known by its fruit. The same is true in our lives. Thoughts bear fruit. Think good thoughts and the fruit. Think bad thoughts and the fruit in your life will be bad. Actually, she says, you can look at a person's attitude and know what kind of thinking is prevalent in his life. A sweet, kind person does not have mean, vindictive thoughts. By the same token, a truly evil person does not have good, loving thoughts. Remember Proverbs 23:7 and allow it to have an impact on your life. For as you think in your heart, so are you. She says, I frequently say, where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the man follows. That's the end of that chapter. That's the end of chapter 2. Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments about anything that you just heard? Several people on the phone lines, area code 215-259 and area code 214-693 joining us. Welcome to the broadcast on tonight. We have just got finished reading chapter 2 of The Battlefield of the Mind. We still have Pastor Felicia on the phone, as well as Minister Desiree. If you have anything to say, please feel free to comment on anything we just read. Okay, they're quiet on me tonight. I'm not understanding, but they're quiet. One thing that I like to remember is Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, where it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I'm thinking about, what am I thinking about? Let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, we do have to be careful about what we think about. We have to be careful about what we're meditating on. We have to be careful about what we look at on television, what we listen to as far as music is concerned, you know, what we allow, you know, to come through into our spirit, man, or into our soul, what things that we are looking at and meditating on. I guarantee you, the more you study the Word of God, the more you see your thoughts change. The more you begin to meditate on the Word of God and begin to call those scriptures back to your memory throughout the day, you'll begin to see things change. You'll begin to see things change. Power thoughts. Joyce Meyer has a book called Power Thoughts, and it's just thinking about the Word of God. But if you never read the Word of God, what's there to think on in the Word? If we never apply, if we never take the time to take the Word of God, and I told you guys this before, I used to sit down and write scripture over and over again. I mean, I would write so much, my hands would hurt so bad. But that was the way I learned. That's the way I still learn. I have to see things in order to learn. I can't just take you at what you're saying. I have to see it. And because I don't have anybody sitting here writing for me, it wouldn't help me anyway. I have to do it myself. That's the way I learn. I have to write it out myself, or I have to type it out myself. But even typing it out is not as effective as me writing it out, because I have to concentrate on the words that I'm writing, okay? So as I'm concentrating on the words that I'm writing, it is going into my mind. It's going into my soulish realm. It's going into my mind. So now that's getting in there, and now I'm able to think on the Word of God. When a situation comes up, if there's an opportunity for me to get angry, and I used to curse. I used to be a good curser, okay? I used to curse in a minute. If an opportunity presents itself and my flesh decides, oh, you get ready to cuss that person out because they did X, no, I'm not going to curse that person out because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And then I had to graduate to the point that even if I felt like cussing them out in my mind, I had to repent for even getting to the point of wanting to cuss them out in my mind. Do you understand? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we got. This is why we must meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God is going to change us. And I think a reason why the enemy fights us so much as far as meditating on the Word of God is because he knows there's going to be a change. We're not going to remain the same if we meditate on the Word of God. If we just read the Word of God and be like, okay, she told me to read Romans chapter 8, verse 6, and slam the Bible shut, you have not done anything, really. Okay, I just read it because she said so, shut her mouth, so that's it. But take the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. Take the Word of God and ask God, help me to understand this. If you don't understand, ask God to help you to understand it, and I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will help you to understand what the Word of God is saying. Because why would God leave you ignorant? Why would God leave you in a state of, I don't know what your Word is saying to me, when he wants us to study his Word, and he wants us to meditate his Word, and he wants us to obey his Word? Okay? Yeah. So when you begin to think of it like that, then you'll be more secure in going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand what the Word of God is saying, because you know that this is God's will, that we know his Word. And we get to know him through the Word. We get to know what God has provided us through the Word. We get to know that God is a faithful God by studying the Word of God. You know, and my sister says in the chat room, she says, wow, I have a long road ahead of me. We all still learning. We're all still learning. Nobody has reached we have not made it. We have not made it to completion. We have not won the prize yet. We're still learning. I'm still learning. I for sure got my hand raised. I'm still learning. And I'm going to still be learning until Jesus takes me out of here. Until God calls me home, I'm still going to be learning. And that's the way all of us are. We don't, none of us have arrived. And if you know somebody who said they have arrived, I would suggest you get away from that person or those people. I'm serious.
Amen.
Okay? And
Amen.
Get away from them real quick. Real quick. Because nobody has arrived. The Word of God, I'm telling you, the Word of God, I read the Word of God sometimes and I'd be like, wow. Now, I know I read this before. This did not speak to me like this. Wow. I don't know how many of you guys have had that type of thing happen to you, but I've had it happen to me. I'm like, wow, that word really was like, And it was just like, it was yummy to me. It was just like, it just overpowered me, and I can't explain it any other way than that, but it was just so good to my soul. Okay? And that's how God wants us to be. He don't want us to read his word and to be something, you know, laborious to us. Oh, man, it's such a hard chore. I got to read the word, man, because you said read the word, man. You know, if we can see ourselves in the spirit sometimes and see how crazy we act when it comes to reading the word, when it comes to praying, when it comes to doing anything that God asks us to do, we probably would just straighten up because sometimes we just look real goofy in the spirit. And God's not asking us to do anything to harm us. Studying the Word of God, how can the study in the Word of God harm you?
Mm-hmm.
He's not asking us to do anything to harm us. He's asking us to do something to help us so that we can mature in him, okay? So we can get stronger in him, so that we can get to trust him. The Bible says that we have a great cloud of witness. If you read it, we have a great cloud of witness. This Bible is a great cloud of witness. We have people that we can go back and read about and see how God sustained them, see how God blessed them. See how God delivered them. But you don't know that if you don't read it. See, but what we do is our priorities are a little out of whack, if I can say that. Our priorities are not where they should be. Everything else comes before the Word of God. And like my husband said, like Bishop Scott said, you know, we pick the times when we're tired to decide to read the Bible. After we done worked all day, after we done took care of the kids all day, we done went shopping, we done whatever we done. Now here it is, 10 o'clock at night, and you're tired, you're exhausted, and you expect to be able to read the Word with understanding. Now you want to think about, I want to go to bed. I'm tired. I don't want to read the Word. Okay? How many of you can say that? That's true. I know I can. So what he said was correct. So what we need to do is we need to find time during the day where we can really sit down and meditate on the Word of God. Sit down and you don't have to copy somebody else's style. You don't have to do something a certain way if somebody else does it. You don't have to do whatever Joyce Meyer's prescription is for her to get the Word of God. You don't have to do what I said. I like to write things down. I have to write things down. That's the way I study. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But find out what your thing is that helps you to study the Word of God. If you got to turn the TV off, turn the TV off. For those of you in Philadelphia, if you need to come to my house, if we need to just, you know, pick a day of the week, we do have Bible study here on Thursdays at 7 p.m., okay, we have Bible study here at our home at 7 o'clock p.m. every Thursday night. Okay, so there's vehicles available. There's churches open on Wednesdays for Bible study, on Tuesdays for Bible study. There's vehicles available for us, but I would suggest you get to a place where, like my husband said, you can get somewhere, and if sometimes you don't understand it, you can ask a question because. Sometimes the Word of God goes right over our head, and we study for what? Because I just don't even know what I read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with my husband. My husband is very learned, okay? He's a very wise man. He loves history, and he understands things way quicker than myself. He'll break the word down, and he'll take that word, and he'll take that word. And sometimes, even with that, I just don't understand what he's saying. I will go back. And I'll be like, excuse me, honey, but what does this mean? Excuse me, honey, but what does this mean? Now, you know we cannot do that in a regular church setting. We can't just stop the service and be like, excuse me, on a Sunday morning, excuse me, what does that mean? Okay? This is why I'm saying that you need to find an intimate setting somewhere where you can go and ask questions so your questions can be answered. And then when you ask the questions, apply what you heard to your life.
Amen.
Don't wait for chick nor child. You got to study to show yourself approved unto God. I have to study to show myself approved unto God. Okay? Like, I do these broadcasts, but let me tell you something. I have to study myself. I have to read myself. And I have to train myself to read because Teresa doesn't like to read. I don't like to read. It's something that's been there my whole life. Okay? But I like to write. I wrote a book. I co-wrote a book. I'm about to write another book. But I don't like to read. That doesn't make any sense. But getting back to the point here is we need to study and meditate on the Word of God. We have to be proactive, okay? We don't need to wait until a situation happens and then we want to get the Word of God and try to find a situation that meets our, you know, find the Word of God that meets our situation. Be proactive. If you know you're having problems in your mind, if you know you're having battles in your mind, be proactive. Find the scriptures in the Bible that speak about your mind. Find the scriptures in the Bible that speak about your mind. Okay, I'm going to try to pull some up right now. Like my husband said, we have technology that is amazing. We have technology now that we don't have any excuse why we can't learn the Word of God. We don't have any excuse as to why we cannot study the Word of God and be students of His Word. We don't have any excuse other than we don't want to or we just plain old lazy. Okay.
It's part of plain old lazy.
Plain old lazy.
Yep.
I'll take plain old lazy for 100, Alex.
I think that too.
Yes, we are lazy. And we want to use every excuse in the world not to do it. And I'm telling you, I got my hand raised again because that was me. You know, we give up all these reasons why we can't study the Word of God. But God don't want to hear my reasons. He says, His Word says to study to show yourself approved unto God. And Joshua says, meditate on the Word day and night. Okay? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know how people say, you ever watch television and you see people get brainwashed in these science fiction movies? God wants us to train our mind and renew our mind from the old way of thinking. It's not brainwashed, but if your mind is being washed, it's being renewed by the Word of God. And He wants us to change our way of thinking because we have lived in the world, we have lived according to our flesh for so long. We got to take this flesh who is opposed to God because our flesh is opposed to God. Our flesh is an enemy of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to take this flesh that is opposed to God and train it. No. You're going to sit down and shut up. I am going to study the Word of God. Yes, I am going to meditate on the Word of God. Yes, I am going to pray. I am going to pray. I know you don't want me to, but I am going to pray. Flesh, sit down and shut up. And if that's the way you have to talk to yourself, then that's what you have to do. If you're a loving person that wants to talk and be sweet about it, Teresa, I think you need to stop what you're doing right now and read the Word of God.
Oh, girl, you know that don't work.
That doesn't work for me at all. Okay? I have
not.
To get down by
for nobody.
Yeah, like what? What do you mean, please? And if you like to. I don't know if I like to because I don't like to. So, look, pick up your Bible and read it right now, Teresa. Like, that's the kind of dumb stuff I got to do to myself in order. Not all the time. Now, not all the time. There's sometimes I read the Word, and I'm telling you, I'll be like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Like, oh, Lord, oh, my God, I love you so much. Thank you for this Word. Those times, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. But we got to train ourselves because our flesh wants to do what? It wants to do what the flesh wants to do. Ephesians 4:22-23. Ephesians 4:22-23.
you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. I'm going to read this in, what is that noise?
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know what that noise is.
I'm turning pages. I'm in my
Okay, she got the crunchies going on.
Oh, it's loud. Boy, y'all hear it.
Yes. Let me start at verse 17.
Can I say something before you get to Ephesians and start reading that?
I'm sorry?
I said, I want to say something before you start reading Ephesians, because you said a lot and you didn't give nobody a chance to talk.
I asked y'all, and every time I asked y'all, y'all got quiet.
But then when I was listening to you, that's why. But you mentioned something about reading God's word. You know, my baby sister, she is 42 years old, and ever since she has been saved, she gets up every morning like clockwork, and the first thing she does is go in that bathroom, and she gets down on her knees, and she have a prayer with God before she start her day. And
amen.
I used to watch her when she was young, and I was like, I'm the oldest. Shouldn't I be setting an example? And I used to watch her, and I'm like, what are you doing in that bathroom? And she said, I pray. I said, you do it every morning? She said, like clockwork. She does it in the morning, and she does it every evening at the same time. And I'm like, how do you do that? And she said, it's discipline. She
discipline.
Said, because I want to thank God first for waking me up and helping me to get through my day. Then at the end of the day, before I get started with cooking dinner, watching TV, helping the kids with their homework, I want to thank him for keeping me safe and keeping my mind where it needs to be, and thank him for everything he's done throughout that day that he brought me back home. I said, man, so I looked at that, and I was like, you know what? I got to be like that. I have got to change. So I was like, I'm a morning person, but I can't just get up in the morning and get into the Word. So what I have started doing is get up in the morning, and before my feet hit the floor, I'll thank God for keeping my mind safe. And then I'll do my prayer in the evening. But what I've been doing for the last couple of years after I've been watching my sister, and that is every night when I close my eyes, I have a conversation with God until I fall asleep.
Amen. Amen.
And for some reason that has really helped a lot. It makes me, when I get up in the morning, it doesn't make me feel, you know, like, you know, sometimes you just feel like you just wake up and you, like, you feel in a bad mood. You're like, wow, you just woke up, so how can you be in a bad mood? And my husband, he's like, I've never met a woman like you that always smile when you get up in the morning. What is so happy when you get up in the morning? I said, well, what is there to be mad about? The day just started. You know, and I think it's because, well, not think, I know it's because I talk to God before I go to bed, and I'll talk to him all night long until I fall asleep. Even if I wake up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock, then I'll just have a conversation with him until I fall back to sleep. That's how I get back to sleep.
See, and that's what works for you. And that's why everybody needs to find their niche. You need to find out what works for you. Because what works for somebody else may not be that thing for you. Because I know.
Right.
Ooh, I can't. Anyway, we have area code 215-259 on the line. Welcome to Out of the Pure Heart Ministries.
Girl, stop playing.
Well, come on now.
Number yet.
Get on
my nerves.
This. Lord, help her, Lord. This is my sister. Do you have a question or a comment, young lady? Hello? Okay, she had to disappear for a minute because that was her fiancé calling her. I know the ringtone, so she had to disappear for a second. So we're going to wait for her to come back. Area code 214, did you have anything you wanted to ask? I know you didn't press the 1, but I'm just asking because you are on the line. Minister, Pastor Felicia.
Yes, ma'am.
Have anything you wanted to say before we read Ephesians? Because I do want to read that. Hello?
No, ma'am. Go ahead.
All right, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Okay, Mark verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Okay, this is action word right here. Put off concerning the old lifestyle. Put off the former things that you used to do. Get rid of that stuff. Stop doing the former things you used to do. Okay? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I have to say this again, and I think I say it almost on every broadcast. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind is not going to happen by osmosis. Okay? I'm going to tell y'all this, and you can laugh if you want to, but this really happened. I used to lay my Bible in my bed right by my head at night thinking it was going to help me. It ain't do nothing for me.
Oh, my God.
It didn't do anything for me. It just laid right there. It was in the same spot when I woke up. Nothing happened. This is why I keep telling you guys that you can't do it by osmosis. There's something you have to do. You have to pick the word up. You have to read it. And if you can't read or you don't like to read, you have to get a DVD. We don't have cassette tapes anymore. Get a DVD or a CD and listen to it over and over again. Now, let me tell you this. When you get a CD, okay, and try to listen to the word of God, Satan is still going to try to come to try to distract you. Your mind is still going to try to wander so that you don't get what you're getting, okay? Mm-hmm. That's when you have to begin to speak to yourself, speak to your mind, and say, "Mind, in the name of Jesus, I command you to concentrate and hear the word of God. Concentrate and hear the word of God in the name of Jesus." We got to talk to ourselves. We have authority of the name of Jesus. We got to do that, okay? Because I could listen to it. I'm going to tell you, I think I told y'all this before too. One of Joyce Meyer's broadcasts came on. I missed the episode, but I went back on the computer and listened to it. I couldn't concentrate on episode for nothing. So what I did was I went back and wrote out the whole episode. Did you hear me? I wrote, you know, Joyce does not, she's not a short-winded person, okay? I went back and wrote the whole thing. And when I finished writing it, I couldn't believe that I had written the whole episode out. I was like, I could be a transcriber and get some money for this. But I sat there and wrote the whole thing out, and I'm glad I did. You know why? Because it was something that I needed. It was something that I needed, and I needed immediately. You understand? But Satan, he tried his very best to keep me from getting that word. But I got it. I got that word. I got it. It was on forgiveness. I got that word. Honey, let me tell you something. I rewound it and whatever you do those DVDs and put it back and put it back and put it back and put it back until I wrote the whole episode out. And don't you know that thing began to help me, began to change my mind? You know, that's a chore when you have to sit down and write the word of God out. Okay? That's a chore. But if you want to change, glory to God, if you want to be delivered, hallelujah, if you really want to be renewed in your mind, you're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to do whatever it takes to get your mind renewed. Whatever. if your friends, your girlfriend say, let's go bowling, and you know you haven't studied your word, and you know God is impressing upon you to study your word, you better be like, later for you, I love you, but you got to go bowling by yourself because I got to get into this word. There'll be other times where you can go bowling. You know, if you're still on this earth, there'll be other times for you to go bowling. But the Bible, the word of God, God has become so important to us that we just want to, like, we just want to, look, Lord, I can't live this day. I can't live this day without getting in your word. Like, I really want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to love you. I want you to be my heavenly Father. I want to get in this word, and I just want this word to lead me and guide me. But I need this word, Lord. I need this word. I need this word to help my thinking. I need this word to help me because I think evil thoughts, and sometimes when I think these evil thoughts, I act on what I'm thinking about. I need you to help me, Lord. Whatever your issue is, yes. You can talk to God just like I'm saying it right now. You can talk to him and say, God, I need you right now. Please show me the scriptures that I need to meditate on. If you got a problem with anger, you don't need to be meditating on scriptures or prosperity. Okay?
Yes.
If you don't have a problem with fornication, you don't need to be meditating on the scriptures with fornication. You need to meditate on the scriptures that's dealing with what you're dealing with.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet now, so if anybody has anything to say. Shirley, are you back?
No, I agree.
Shirley, are you back?
What?
Okay. Okay, do you have a question or comment? Because you pressed the one.
Mm-hmm. You wanted me to call.
Because I thought you had a question or a comment. I told you I wanted you to talk about any battle that you're having in your mind, anything.
Oh. I'm battling a cat.
You know what? This girl right here.
What? You know
this is my baby sister, y'all, out of 13 children. This is my baby sister. Okay? And y'all pray for my sister because my sister is trying to make...
pray for me.
She's trying to make some free steps in her relationship with God. Okay? So, really, Pastor Felicia and Minister Desiree, please. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying please pray for my sister. Because you know how the enemy
is. Is she new to being a Christian?
Shirley?
Am I new to being a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I don't know. I've been.
No, yeah, you do. Can I? You know what is it? Yes. I mean, let me put it this way: did you just get saved? Has it been something recently? Has it been a couple of months ago? Has it been a year? How long have you been? How long ago has it been since you accepted Christ into your heart?
I don't know. It's been a while. I really actually wanted to all the way. I've been one through for a while. It was just really, what has it been? Teresa, what has it been? How many months?
I don't know.
How many months I've been battling with this?
So
in other words, what I'm getting is that you want to 100% fully accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, but there's a part of you that is not at the 100%. Is that what you're saying?
No, I wasn't, but now.
So in other words, you wasn't 100% asking him into your heart. Now you have already asked him to come into your heart.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been truly serving him? Not just being a Christian, but serving him.
I've been trying it. I've been trying to do it. What is it? I don't know.
I know exactly what it is, if you don't mind me saying. I think what it is that you have accepted him into your heart, but you also have a lot of questions that you're not quite sure about, and because you're not quite sure about them, you feel that maybe you're not where you should be. Am I somewhere in the right ballpark?
Yeah,
Yeah, you are.
Okay. I want to say this to you. When all of us, when we first accept Christ, we all have certain questions. We wonder, and all those things come from the enemy. I want you to know that right now. That has nothing to do with you personally. That is the enemy telling you, well, no, you didn't really do it. Well, yeah, you did, but you still have all these questions. The question's going to always be there, because as you grow in Christ and have your relationship with him, those questions will be there. But one way that you can stop saying that, well, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not, is by always having communion and a conversation with him every second of the day. I don't care what it is. If you're, when you get up in the morning and you're having a bowl of cereal for your breakfast and you're like, Lord, I don't want to go on this job, these people get on my nerves, talk to God like that. You know, I'm not the type of person to tell people how to talk to God, because I believe a person talks to God the way they would talk to their best friend, and God is your best friend. And that is how you would talk to your best friend. If you, if somebody on your job is getting on your nerves, you would talk to them just like that. Then you need to tell God, Lord, I ain't trying to go into this job. These people get on my nerves. If you don't give me what I need, they're going to see the real me. That is pure honesty with God. And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to honor that more than you trying to fake it or pretend. He will always honor whatever it is that you're honest about. If it's something that is with you and your relationship with your friends, your boyfriend, your sister, or your family member, or whatever, you have to be honest with God. Even if you can't be honest with anyone else about whatever you're feeling on the inside, because I know when you first get saved, everybody want to know, well, how you doing, blah, 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 and all that, because they want to know. And sometimes we don't have answers to give them because we're trying to figure this thing out ourselves. Because, see, all these years you've been serving yourself and serving the devil, doing what you want to do, but now you come into this new light, and now you're like, man, I'm supposed to be a new creature. I got to serve God. My God, people ask me all these questions. I wish people would just leave me alone. I don't know how to answer them. If I say the wrong thing, then maybe I'm wrong, then maybe I'm not. I want you to understand, don't worry about all those other things. All those things will disappear, because every day when you talk to God, he will start removing those questions and that fear and that doubt and that anxiety and that stress and that frustration. He will remove that. Being a child of God is a daily process. It will not happen overnight. Paul tells us we work out our salvation daily. Every day you're going to find yourself in a place where you struggle. But here's the beauty of it, is that when you're struggling, even if you happen to say a bad word or treat someone wrong, you know the moment that you treat that person wrong, you can ask God to forgive you, and God will forgive you immediately. Now, you may not have gone to that other person right away, because sometimes we as Christians, we think that just because I ask God to forgive me, that means I got to forgive that person right away. We are to forgive that person right away. But let's be real, because I live in the real world. I don't always forgive people right away, because depending on the severity of the situation, I might be like, you know what, I think I'm going to let you stew just a little longer, because that's the flesh. We live in the flesh, and God knows that. But that doesn't stop God from forgiving us. And then when you are ready, God will deal with your heart, and he'll say, you know what? You asked me for forgiveness. I've forgiven you. And he'll work on your heart about that person who you still have ill feelings for, and you'll find yourself forgiving that person without even going to them, even asking them and letting them know, you know what? I forgive you. You'll find yourself that you'll be joking and laughing with them, and you'll sit back and be like, wait a minute. Didn't I just say that girl get on my nerves? Now, why am I sitting here holding a conversation where like we're the best of friends? Because you know why? God worked on your heart so that he opened your eyes, that you can see her or him through the eyes of Christ and not through your own flesh. So I want you just to stay encouraged. And every day, find a place and a time where you talk to God, even if it might be, you might think it's about the smallest or the minute or the stupidest thing. With God,
God, there is nothing stupid. Anything that bothers or concerns us, God is concerned about. You tell him whatever it is. If you're agitated, tell him. If you're frustrated, tell him. If you feel that you're about to lose control of yourself, you tell him. He's the only one that's going to be able to help you. Yes, your family, they all love you. They're there to support you. You have that. But see, when you go to bed at night, nobody knows what is in that heart, in that corner, but God Almighty himself. He's the one that can take care of what's in that heart, in that corner, that you won't let nobody else get there. He can get in there, but you have to allow him to take control over your life. And believe me, today it might seem like, yeah, I answered this question this way to that lady. Next week, somebody might ask you that question, and your answer will be a whole lot different. You can say it with confidence. Yup, I accepted Christ, and I'm just enjoying myself. See what I'm saying? Because every day is always a struggle for us, and we feel that we're not sure how to answer folks when they ask us certain questions, and sometimes we just wish they would just shut up. And I ask us, but it's not that they're being nosy, it's that they care and they love. The body of Christ wants to love you. So when people ask you that, like I asked you today, you felt, well, you didn't know how to answer that. And that's okay. But come next month, somebody asks you that, you're going to have a whole new way how you're going to answer. Because every day you're going to find yourself running God in ways that you never even expected. You're going to sit back and just look at yourself like you're watching a movie. And you're watching you living out your life. That's how God will do you. And you'd be like, oh, my God, I came from there to this. Glory to God. I can't believe it. I'm no longer that person. How did I let that roll off my sleeve? I didn't even give that no attention. I didn't even think about it. It didn't even raise a hair on my head. I treated it like water. See, that's God moving in your life. So you will have better days. Every day that comes along, you have better days. Even though we have some bad days, praise God for the good days. Because even in the bad days, God is still your advocate. He'll give you all the comfort, all the understanding, all the knowledge that you need. Right now, you are what I consider a babe in Christ. So you need the milk. And that's fine. So you continue to drink the milk and absorb everything about God that there is. And you have that relationship with him. And don't let anyone try to deter you away from your relationship with him. Speak to him. Let him endow his power on you. Let him fill you from head to toe with his word. So when it comes to the point where you feel you just can't make it, you can reach down inside of you and you can pull out that vessel that's on the inside of you and you can bring forth those words that are in you. You'll find yourself quoting scriptures that you didn't even know that you even knew, because you know why? You've been in contact with the Lord, and he is the one that is doing the work on the inside of you. And then no one will get the praise but God. And then you stand there praising God, and see, you'll be a witness, because believe me, there are people now, your friends, that are watching you. They're watching you want to know, wait a minute, what? She's not the same. Why is she? What happened here? But see, you're going to be a great witness to them. They're going to ask you. They may not even ask you now, but one day they're going to ask you, well, what's going on? You're not like you used to be. You don't want to hang out. You're different. You talk different. See, Christians have a different talk about us. We can still be with the same people, but all of a sudden on your job or with your friends or whatever, or your family, even family, they're like, oh, she ain't the same. What happened to her? God happened to me. So you will be different, but even in your different, you can witness to them by how you behave. And before you know it, they'll be coming to you asking you about God. They may not do it right now, but they will eventually ask you, how do you get that peace? I know you're going through something. You acting to see all this stuff is going around you, and you acting like it is nothing. Where do you get the peace? And then you can say, my Father in heaven gives me that peace. Well, then they'll ask you, well, how do I get that peace? Your testimony. God will bring more people that you can be able to witness to. So you just hang in there, okay?
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to pry, and I hope I didn't say too much to do anything that was wrong, but I just wanted to. This is how I talk to young people who just accept Christ into their lives when I ask them a question, they give me a response that you do. That's how I communicate with them, let them know, hey, we've all been there. It does get easier. Believe me, it gets a whole lot easier. Your conversation, all that gets easy. So in the meantime, what is your first name?
Shirley.
Shirley. Do you mind if I pray for you?
No, I don't mind.
Ah, okay. Father God, I just thank you for Shirley. Lord God, I just ask you that you just lift her up, Lord God. Lord God, I just thank you for her salvation. Because, Lord God, I know that the angels in heaven, Lord God, you said that they rejoice. And, Lord God, even though this is all new to her and she's here tonight listening to all these things, I know that most of this conversation probably was like, bombard her, overwhelm her. But, Father God, I pray tonight when she lays her head down, everything that she has heard will be saturated in her heart, and that you will start speaking to her in her sleep throughout the rest of this week. Start revealing new things to her like she's never seen them before. Let your love encamp all about her, and let your angels wrap their arms around her and protect her going in and coming out. Protect her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Let her wear the helmet of salvation, preparation with the gospel of the sandals upon her feet, Lord God, and watch her from the front and the back, wherever she goes, Lord God. And Lord God, every time she feels within herself that she's not quite sure, because we know that's what the enemy is going to do. Lord God, I pray that you said in your word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you will raise up a standard. And I pray, Lord God, that the moment that she even tries to doubt herself in any situation, or even doubt her salvation, or doubt what she's hearing from you, that you will quicken within her spirit the truth of your son, Jesus Christ, that died for her, Lord God. I thank you for it, and I give you praise for this life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Shirley. You enjoy the rest of your day, dear.
Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. That was good. I was enjoying that. Yeah, I was enjoying that.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That was really good. Sometimes we put a lot of restrictions on ourselves too, especially new Christians, baby Christians. We put a lot of restrictions on them that they don't want to serve God because they can't do this and they can't do that. One of the questions she asked in the chat room was, can she go line dancing?
Can she do what?
Go line dancing.
You want to answer that?
I'm not answering it.
Why not?
I don't go line dancing. That's just not something I do.
So she likes line dancing. Where does she go line dancing at?
I don't know. Where you go line dancing at, Shirley?
Huh?
Where do you go
line
dancing?
How do you
go
line dancing at? Do you go to a bar, club, or what?
No.
Alright, so where are you going at?
Bar. I have, but I don't even go anywhere anymore. But the place I go is what is that place? It's like, I won't say a club, but it's like all ages go. Like older people, all ages.
So what is a lounge? What, they sell alcohol?
They sell that too.
Okay. Teresa, you going to answer her question?
I wouldn't go.
That's
not
right.
As somebody who is just now really coming into the Lord and
mm-hmm.
really trying to get your relationship right with God, I wouldn't go.
Nope.
I wouldn't go. And my take on this is that Jesus said, come out the world.
We
can't love the things of the world and love him. There's other things that, as Christians, we can do. We can do other things.
Not
necessarily have to be somewhere, you know, where they serve alcohol, this, that, and the third. This is one reason why we never can get to Warm Daddy. You know, I just wanted to go out to dinner with my sisters and go, you know, just listen to some, you know, soft music, mellow music, jazz.
I'm waiting for that.
But
you know,
it's alcohol. Can't make myself get there because it's alcohol there. And, again, you got to know your limitations. You got to know.
That's right.
There's we can do as Christians that we don't have to be around alcohol. We don't have to be around, you know, where everybody's cursing and acting crazy, or they might not even be acting crazy. they ended up having a good time because they started drinking or whatever the case is. I choose not to be around things that's so worldly because I'm trying to keep my relationship right with God. And I don't want anything to, number one, bring discredit to God. Now,
right.
You know, we had my husband's birthday party when he turned 60 years old. We had his birthday party there at this very same place. That's been a year ago. I haven't been back there since. And we went there, listened to the music, and was having fun. Had his birthday cake there and everything. But I have not been able to go back there since then. And that's where God wants us not to be of the world. He'll give us things to do. He'll show us things to do, but we don't have to be around that. It's almost
now,
it's like compromising. Like, okay.
Now, surely like line dancing, you know, there are places that are like a school that teaches different dances. There's no alcohol. There's nothing there. And matter of fact, and all the classes are done in broad daylight. And they have classes because we have them right here in the state of Maryland where you just go in, you pay a fee, and they have instructors there. They're teaching different dances. And they also have where since she likes doing line dancing, then that's something that she might want to, if she want to do it, where she don't have to be around no alcohol, no trying to pick up nobody trying to pick her up or anything like that, where they actually have instructors. You know what I'm talking about? It's like if you go into class and you're doing exercise classes. Well, if they have these dance classes that teaches people how to do certain dances. And the reason why I say that is because I have a young daughter who is 24 years old, and my daughter has been saved, but then she decided that she's going to go back out in the world. So now she's backslid. And it hurts my heart because she enjoys dancing, and I try telling her, you cannot go to bars and clubs and lounges and be a Christian at the same time because, for one, what's going to happen is that you're not honoring God. Two, you're going to act totally out of character. You're going to go back to your old selfish ways, and before you know it, you're not going to worry about God whatsoever. And that's how the enemy get us trapped because we're like, oh, well, it's just dancing. Nobody's bothering. Yeah. What about having at a gym, at a school, at a friend's house, someplace where there is nothing that can get you into any type of trouble or the enemy can use it against you? See, the Bible tells us that we are to avoid anything that has appearance of evil. And going to clubs, bars and things like that, that's evil. We have to stay away from that. There are other things that, as Christians, that we can do. There are a lot of things that Christians can do. You know, me and my husband, we go to parks all the time. We like parks. We go to museums all the time. You know, I don't know the last time we've even been to a movie because, I mean, there's not no decent movies out. So we don't even do that anymore. But we do a whole lot of going out for dinner, though. But, you know, there are a lot of things that Christians can do. But I think what it is that when you've been out in the world for so long and you've been out here, you know, dancing, clubbing and drinking and have a good time with your friends, that by the time you do get saved and you come into the knowledge of God and having this relationship with Him, you look at your entertainment and you're like, oh, my God, God disapproves of everything. You know, and people get that mentality. But and I'm going to be honest, I used to think that, too. I was in my 20s, I was like, my God, God has just got me a poor life. I ain't got nothing to do. I can't party, can't drink. I can't do nothing anymore. But God says, show me there are other things out here, Desi, that you can do. Like, what's wrong with going to the park? I'm like, I ain't going to no park. That's boring. Who goes to a park? I don't want to walk around looking at people. That's like going to the mall, sitting around looking at nobody, you ain't got no money. I'm not doing that. I don't go to the mall unless I got money. And then I start realizing, you know what? You need to change your mindset. You can have a good time at the mall without spending money. I do it now. I can go to the park, and I have fun when I'm at the park. There are a lot of things that I see now that I never saw before because I never paid no attention to the park. But there are a lot of things. But since she does like line dancing, I would not say going to a place that has alcohol would be a good idea for Shirley.
Alcohol doesn't bother me.
Huh?
Alcohol doesn't bother me.
I knew you were going to say that. And let me explain that.
It doesn't bother me. I'm not like Teresa. It doesn't. I can do without it.
Oh, I know. No, 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 no. Let me know. That's what I was going to say. I know it doesn't bother you.
Huh?
But see, this is what the enemy will use against you. See what I'm saying? Because you like line dancing, and even though they sell alcohol, alcohol doesn't bother you. It's like people can smoke around me. I used to smoke. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. People can smoke around me. Don't bother me. But here's the thing. The enemy can use that incident where you're at against you. Because you could be line dancing. Just say you just you and your friends, y'all all stand there and you line dance. I don't line dance. I used to do it when I was young. And you're having a good time. But then all of a sudden, the enemy will bring somebody over, try to talk to you. If they ain't trying to talk to you, something bad might happen there. Anything can happen that the enemy will try to hurt you, not just physically, but spiritually, to the point that you will like it so much that you like, oh, this ain't bad. I had a good time. Well, somebody else say, well, I have a line dance over here. Let's go try that. See, the enemy likes to wheel us in, like when you go fishing. He gives us a little bit of bait, and he keeps, you know, pulling it in. And then when you keep saying yes, yes, yes. I mean, think about it. People that are into pornography, they didn't wake up just watching pornography. No. They started watching magazines. Then they start doing certain things with women. Then before you know it, or with men, whatever they prefer, then before you know it, they're like, oh, well, let me just watch a little bit on the tube. Then they buy movies. Now they're so hooked on it. Now they're paying their credit cards watching it. Now they're going to Vegas watching it. See, this is how the enemy pulls us in on these little tricks. And before we know it, he has already got us in a place where we're going to have such a hard time that we can't get free from. And the reason being is because we had our eyes completely closed and was not aware of how the enemy can use something that could be just as innocent as just learn how to dance against us. That's what I'm saying, how the enemy can use that against you. And then before you know it, you could be out there having such a good old time that you find yourself back out in the world and you're not really having that much conversation with God anymore. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You don't want to talk about God. Your sister asks you about God. Oh, girl, we'll talk about God tomorrow. You see, those are the things how the enemy do. And the only reason I'm saying this is because I know it. I've been there and I've done it myself. He will use those things against us. So this is why we have to be careful where we allow ourselves to go. That's why the Bible tells us it's flesh of the eyes and flesh of the pride and life, because they're the things that the enemy loves us to get caught up in. And we don't want you to get caught up in that. So if you like line dancing, find a place where there's no alcohol. Even if it's at a gymnasium. What about you and your friends go in your house and do it in your basement? Then that way everybody's fine. But you don't want to be in an atmosphere where the atmosphere is wrong. Because think about it. If you're in the atmosphere where all this alcohol and drinking is, and Christ is already inside of you, of course he's going to be there, because wherever we go, he goes. But ask yourself this question. Is God going to be honored by you line dancing and all these other people drinking? Does that bring honor to God? If your answer is no, then don't do it. If you say the answer is bring honor to God, then you go ahead and do it. But always remember, we do reap what we sow.
Amen. And this is, you know, we only have like 2 minutes left. But what I do, you know, you as you begin to mature in the Lord, as you begin to see things the way God sees them, the desire to be in places like that will change.
Oh, yes, it will.
Yeah, the desire definitely will change. And even though she has never had a problem with alcohol or stuff like that, she can look at it and just keep it moving. That's her. But as a baby Christian, I just wouldn't do it, because those spirits that are in there, you know, it's wine and spirits, there's spirits in there, and anything that would like to attach itself to you to keep you from moving forward in the Lord.
Yep.
So I believe that was good advice. But we're going to stop here with that, and then we're going to say that anybody who is listening to this broadcast, either right now or in the archives, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not confessed him as Lord, if you don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day after he was crucified, I just want you to know all that stuff in the Bible is real. I wasn't there when it happened, but I believe it, okay? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. But Jesus said in John 3 that you must be born again. You must be.
He didn't say you can be if you want to. He said you must be born again. If we plan on entering into the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. There's no other way to get there except we be born again, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. So if that's you, you haven't given your life to Christ yet and you want to, you can do it right now. You can do it right now. Admit that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. Say you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sins and he rose again on the third day. It's not hard. We make it hard. It's not hard. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you shall be saved. Read the book of, read the Gospel of John chapter 3. Read 1 John chapter 5 and you'll get a better understanding of salvation, because there is no life outside of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Wednesday. You can't hold hands with the devil and walk with God. It's impossible. All right. God bless you all. We love you. Thank you all for participating. Have a blessed, 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 blessed night. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You too.